The Life of Mary Southern, a dramatic story of a young widow who sacrifices security to follow a difficult and unfamiliar road into the future. Mary Southern is presented each weekday by the makers of Ipana toothpaste. The Life of Mary Southern, a dramatic story of a young widow who sacrifices security to follow a difficult and unfamiliar road into the future. And now, the life of Mary Southern. Mary is struggling against overwhelming odds to build a new life for herself and her children in Craig's Falls. Now that she has recovered from the shock of her husband's death, she feels instinctively that she will find contentment only by breaking completely with the past. Although her income is gone, she refuses Dr. John Benson's offer of marriage and security because she does not love him and declares that she will find a job and support her children. Yesterday brought hope, followed by cruel disappointment to Mary. A moment after David and Father Brady had told her they could take care of two more children at the neighborhood house, a laborer, whose wife was sick, appeared with his two babies, and Mary insisted unselfishly that these motherless children needed the two available nursery beds. It is the next afternoon. Mary has spent another discouraging day looking for work, and she is exhausted, mentally and physically. As she walks slowly up the front steps of the boarding house, she is tortured by disheartening memories of the past few days.
No, no openings at all, miss. Come back in the spring.
What? Applying for a job with no references? How many years' experience, miss?
References?
Experience? References? Experience?
Only experienced girls need apply. Only experienced girls need apply.
I'll never get a job. I'll never get a job. They wouldn't even trust me to wash dishes at the hotel just because I never worked in a hotel. Joan was right. You have to be practical in this world. I thought I'd find a job just because I need one so badly, just because I want my children with me.
Mary.
Oh, hello, Mrs. McPherson. I didn't see you standing there at the door. I was just thinking.
I've been standing out there on the porch so long, I decided you was too tired to open the door and come in.
I am tired, Mrs. McPherson. I thought I'd get used to it after a few days.
No, you never get used to hearing people say there's no work for you and having them slam doors in your face. Come on in, sit down.
I don't know what I'd do if it weren't for you and Father Brady and David. You've all been wonderful.
Nonsense. We've all had bad breaks of sales, that is, David and I have. We know what you're going through. You're losing weight, Mary. You better take tomorrow off and have a good rest.
I can't. I've got to keep on or give up.
You've got more spunk than any tin woman I ever met. Honest, I thought I'd break down and have a good cry when David told me what happened yesterday.
David told you about wanting to bring my children here to the nursery?
Yeah. Does seem as if you've had more hard luck than anybody I ever heard of. Just when it's all fixed up for your kids to use the last two beds in the nursery, that fellow with a sick wife had to turn up with two babies. Well, guess there was nothing for Father Brady to do but take him in when it was a bad break for you.
Well, maybe there was a reason why things happened that way. Maybe it was meant to be a warning to me that I don't deserve to have my children here till I prove I can take care of them.
Of all the nonsense. You deserve everything anybody can do for you. Oh, dear. Wonder who that is at the front door. Say, Mary, look out that front window. Isn't that Dr. Benson's car?
Why, yes, it is. But he said he wouldn't be back till tomorrow.
Listen, you're in no state to argue with him tonight. Want me to tell him you're not here?
No, he's come all the way from Sanders to see me. Better send him in, Mrs. McPherson.
All right, if you say so. But I wish that man had leave you alone.
I was so sure I'd have a job before he came back. So sure.
Mary.
Oh, hello, John. I didn't expect you till tomorrow.
I have a light schedule at the clinic today, so it looks like a good chance to drive over here and see you. Mary, dear, your face is thinner. You look tired.
Oh, I'm all right, John. I'm feeling fine.
You've been wearing yourself out looking for a job, haven't you?
No, I've been looking, but it takes time, as you said it would.
Mary, I want to apologize for what I said.
Now, there's no need of apologizing, John. You just warned me that I've had no business experience, and I'd have a hard time finding a job.
But I had no right to talk to you that way, as if you belonged to me.
A good friend should always have the right to tell the truth. You and I have always been truthful with each other, haven't we?
Always. Oh, Mary, you only knew what I've gone through these past few days. Wanting to help you, wanting you with me, close to me, and knowing you were 80 miles away.
Johnny, please.
Even when you married Max, I didn't suffer as I have lately. Because then I knew you were in the same town. I could go to sleep at night knowing that I'd meet you downtown during the day, that I'd hear your voice.
John, I've never deserved such devotion.
You deserve all the love and devotion a man could give you. The devotion I could give you, Mary, if you'd only let me.
No, John, no, don't say that again. You're such a fine, generous person. You'd make a wonderful husband and father. I don't understand why I can't love you as you want me to. I just can't explain it. But
don't you think you might love me in time, Mary, if you married me? Oh, I want so much to take care of
you. Please, John, dear, don't make it any harder for me to refuse. I wish you'd try to understand that, well, you'd never be happy with me. I just don't love you in that way. I could never love you as a wife should love her husband.
I'm willing to risk it, Mary. I'd rather have your friendship than the love of 100 other
women.
John,
please, let's talk of something else.
All right.
Tell me about Susan and Jimmy. Are they well and happy?
They're fine, Mary, fine. They miss you, of course.
I miss them so much it's torture even to mention their names. This week's taught me one thing. It's going to take longer than I thought finding a job.
Well, I knew you'd find that out.
And I think you were right advising me not to bring them here till I've proved I can support them.
Mary, suppose weeks and months pass before you do find a job. Do you want to be separated from your children all that time?
I've got to find work soon. I don't think I can go on much longer without seeing them. Just feeling their arms around my neck.
Mary, you won't be the first person who spent months job hunting.
Months before I see my children. And their birthday is just 3 weeks away. I must find work before then.
Dr. Benson.
Oh, isn't that Miss McPherson, Mary?
Yes, I wonder why she wants you.
Phone for you, Dr. Benson. Father Brady. Phone's right there.
Father Brady? I wonder why he's calling me. Excuse me, Mary.
Yes, surely, John.
Hello? Father Brady? Yes, Mr. Benson. Yes, I'll come over.
Mary. Don't you think you ought to send Dr. Benson away and rest a few minutes before dinner?
Yes, I must ask him to go. I wonder why Father Brady's home, John. He
wants to tell some about you, most likely.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Mary, Father Brady wants to talk to me.
Yes, John?
I have to drive back to Sanders tonight, so I told him I'd drop over to see him right now.
Did he say why he wants to see you, John?
No. I hate to leave you, Mary.
Oh, that's all right. I'd like to rest for a few minutes before dinner anyway.
Yes, yes, you need rest and sleep, Mary. Wish I didn't have to go back to Sanders tonight, but I'll be back in a few days.
Give my love to Susan and Jimmy, John.
Yes, I will, darling.
And thanks again for all you've done for me.
Goodbye, Mary. Mrs. McPherson, will you see that Mary gets plenty of sleep?
Yeah, I'll do my best, Dr. Benson.
Bye.
Goodbye, John.
Goodbye, Mary.
There's just one reason why Father Brady wants to talk to John. It's about me.
Sure. I bet Father Brady and David are figuring out a way to bring your kids here after all.
I'm causing too much trouble for everybody. First my friends in Sanders, now David and Father Brady.
Oh, nonsense.
They're all trying to help me, but they think I'm wrong in wanting my children here. Yes, I'm sure they think I'm wrong. John says it may be months before I get a job. Months for everybody to worry about me. No. No, I can't go on this way any longer. There's just one thing for me to do now. Just one possible decision. And I must make it before tomorrow.
What does Mary mean? Has she found a real solution to her problems? Or has she reached a decision born of resignation and despair? Once again, John Benson pleads with Mary to accept security for herself and her children by marrying him, and once again Mary has refused. Undoubtedly, Mary's guess is correct that Father Brady wants to discuss her problems with John. But she's wrong, of course, in feeling that David and Father Brady disapprove of her desire to bring her children to Craig's Falls. What decision has Mary reached as a result of her despairing conviction that she is causing too much trouble to all her friends? We'll know tomorrow when another chapter is presented in the life of Mary Southern.